Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say, 'I am a king.' For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. So, as it is anymore, I get the majority of my news on my phone. And I think, like a lot of people, I just have a reel that kind of comes before me in front of from a lot of different news outlets. And one of the things that has always kind of struck me about this is the extraordinary amount of information I get from the royal family from England. I don't think I've ever looked that up. And to be honest, I really don't care. I have no interest whatsoever in what's going on in Great Britain. But it's, for whatever reason, Apple seems to think that I need to hear about that a lot. And so I get a lot of things with that. And I'll be honest, as I sit with this, I'm trying to pull up, there we go, Apple News. And if I go down just a little bit, it'll get to the royal family. And I'll hear all about it. Which is extraordinary to me, because we actually fought a war at the beginning to be completely disconnected from them, right? Truly. It's called the American Revolution, if you've not heard about it. We fought that war, and yet somehow we're very interested in everything that happens. It's interesting to me, because I'm not sure what that's about, what we're looking for in that. But we certainly have this fascination with royalty. Whether that just be because we're interested in the inner life of people that live within that, or whether there's a fascination with just the idea of royalty itself. I don't know where that comes from in this culture. I think part of it comes from a sense of wealth and power, something that is distinct from what it is that we know as an American culture, but an image nevertheless that we hold up as something that is kind of a fantasy, maybe, for us. In the churches that are important in the area in which we live, all those churches have an image of Christ the King, which is the feast we celebrate today. St. Meinrad, you have the great image of the Pantocrator, who, when you walk in the Archabbey Church, as plain as it is, nevertheless has this huge image of the Lord. And he's wearing a dalmatic, and he's wearing a chasuble in that. And I am the Word and the Life. And he has his hands outstretched over others. If you walk into our cathedral and you turn and look at the back of the church and see the stained glass window, you'll see a stained glass window, the same thing. Jesus stands in a dalmatic, sign of a deacon, and a cope, sign of the priest, with his hands extended. And within that, he contains all that is in the world. It is Christ, the King of the universe. And he stands there. My favorite is in Washington, D.C., when you walk into the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, which is an extraordinary church. And if you're there, if you ever go out to D.C., you need to visit. It's gorgeous. But in the apse of that church is Jesus standing as the Pantocrator, as the King of the universe. He's buff. Right, I mean, he's a tough looking dude, and yet within that, as much power as there is, nevertheless the sense of kind of his priesthood and his power and his glory as he stands over the largest church in the United States. What's important in all those images is that in all those images, including that of Washington, D.C., is that his hands and his feet and his side are pierced. And so Jesus stands in this image of glory and power, but he also has the wounds of the crucifixion that sit there. And I think that that's something that invites us to really contemplate and reevaluate what it means to be king of the universe. We associate royalty with a lot of things, but in our faith, we call to mind that Christ is the King of the universe. What we call to mind, truly, if we listen to our gospel, is the one who chose, not that he had to do it, but he chose to suffer and die so that you and I might live. And that, from a Christian perspective, is what royalty looks like. That's what it means to be king, not wealth, not power. And to be honest, when you look at the royals in this world today, they have no power at all. Real power comes from what it is that God does. And so when we gather here, we're called to remember that the greatness of God ultimately comes from the place in which God owed us nothing, nothing, and yet loved us so much that he gave everything. And in giving everything to us, calls us to, in love and in compassion, to be an instrument of love for other people. That really and truly, power doesn't come from what it is that we can do to control other people. The power comes from the willingness to love other people. And in loving and in desiring the good for the other, that's where we find life, that's where we find joy, and that is what it is that our God leads us to. And as we stand at the end of our liturgical year, as we prepare ourselves to step into a new moment in which we begin once again the mystery of God's story in our lives. Here at the end, as we stand at this last moment, we have to remember that in the end, it's really about others and not ourselves. It's really about being generous and not being selfish. It is really about being an instrument of peace in the lives of others. in which we find hope and salvation, because there we imitate the God who loved us first. It is there that we reflect the goodness that God gives to us, the goodness that brought us salvation, the goodness that brings us hope, the goodness that brings us life and goodness. And so as we come together here at our last day of the liturgical year, as we prepare ourselves to step into the next day of a new year, we're called simply to remember that to find life and hope and goodness and joy and salvation, everything that we want, means being about the other. Means being about generosity. It's not about what we have. It's not about what we control. It's not about the ways in which we can move people. It's simply about being for others at all times and in all things. And that's where we find life, hope, joy, salvation. Amen.